It's 11:50. This is Dean Richards. Sunday morning, WGN. Coming up after 12 o'clock, our Food Time show today, a review of the top cookbooks of 2015. We'll have some good ideas for you then. So earlier this morning, we were talking about this new film that'll be coming out next Friday called 13 Hours, The Secret Soldiers of Benghazi. I was in Miami the last couple of days. We interviewed not only the actors and filmmakers of that movie, but also three of the actual former Army Rangers, Marines, who were actually stationed not at the embassy in Benghazi, but at the compound. There was a security compound, which was about a mile away from there, when the embassy was attacked. These soldiers reacted after getting authorization, and tried to save the people who were inside the embassy. Four people were killed in there, as you probably know, including U.S. ambassador to Libya, J. Christopher Stevens. One of his aides, Tyrone Woods, was also among those killed in that attack. But these amazing, amazing, brave men who were in there and what they went through in these 13 hours is what this movie is about. It's not about the politics of it all. This movie is really pretty free of what Benghazi has now become, this political football. This movie is about these soldiers, as it should be, and their bravery and the hell that they went through in those 13 hours. It stars John Krasinski, who we'll hear from in just a moment. But under the direction of Michael Bay, who you know from, big-time action movies, like the Transformers, among others, which he'll talk about in just a second. One of the things that really struck me in watching this movie is the sense of responsibility that this filmmaker, these actors, bring to this movie with a pretty recent, horrible story to tell like this. And Michael Bay responds.
Listen, I'm a news junkie probably like you, and we know this much about Benghazi, or we thought, or I thought, and then I read the book 13 Hours, and there was an amazing human story that happened that's this much about Benghazi. And it was a great story that was never told, never heard on any news show. I've worked with the military for over 20 years. I was the first director to ever have a real SEAL team in the ROC. I mean, that's the very first SEAL team ever used in a movie. That's when I became friends with a lot of these special operators. And I put them in my movies over the years. I've become friends with so many different SEALs. And it's a very special group of person. And there was an extraordinary thing that happened that night. These guys were all protecting a CIA compound that had young female spies, young computer geeks, and their job is they're ex-military special operators, okay? They did not have to go. They were all young fathers. They were all going back to the States to their comfortable homes in a week. And when they got the call, if you don't get here, we're all going to F and die, a mile away at the consulate with them, with Ambassador Stevens. They suited up, no questions asked. And that was what the movie really examines, you know? And we do give you the facts. The book was very well researched. The breadth of the reach I have, way more so than an investigative reporter would ever have, just from terms of being on a year, from meeting with the CIA to the boots on the ground, to people in country at the time. You just get information that people would not have access to.
You know, I wonder if you feel a special sense of responsibility or more of a gravity in telling a story like this that's so fresh. You know, three of the survivors are right down the hall right now. I mean, that's heavy. To me, that's
very heavy. It was very heavy showing the movie to the families of the mother who lost her son and the brother who lost his brother. And the guys that actually were there that night, they were terrified to see the movie because, you know, when there was one SEAL sitting next to his wife behind me, he said, "Wow, that felt like it was 20 minutes for me." He said, "I was right there. It brought me back." The mother, she wanted to, there's a sad, very emotional scene where Tyrone Woods loses his life at the end of the night. He was a SEAL. The mother wanted to be walked out when that time came in the movie, and she waved people off. She wanted to see it. And at the end, she hugged me, and it was a very emotional experience to show them. But I said, the last thing I said when I spoke to them before I played the movie, I said, this movie, in the end of it all, is supposed to be inspirational. And that's what I think it is. It's an inspirational
heroic. At the end of the day, it really is. You feel such pride for these guys and that there are people like that.
People like that. And
that
it's
exist
like,
in this world.
Yeah. It's like the way I look at this movie, it's the classic nightmare. And that was a nightmare night for 13 hours. And we all hope in these nightmares you have heroes like these.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you may be coming back to Chicago.
I'm coming back to Chicago.
Are you definitely coming back?
I think so, yeah.
You're going to blow up Michigan Avenue again like you did last time?
No, I'm going to
find some new areas.
We're going to find a new street.
Yeah, maybe City Hall this time.
I love Chicago.
A lot of people would like City Hall and all the politicians blown up right now. Well, there may be more destruction going on right now than there were than you inflicted on us.
We'll come in with some Transformers to kind of even it out.
Well, maybe that's what we need. Maybe that's what we need. I mean, a lot of us, I think maybe even you might have thought that you were done with Transformers.
Yeah, but you know what? It's studios. They just want to make these franchises. That's all they want to do. They don't want to make movies like this. It's kind of wild.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah, it is. It is, because you need all sorts of movies. And listen, I love...
And don't you prove... I mean, I think once people see this, I think you prove that you can make a film that's important and also entertaining, give people the kinds of visceral thrills that they want in a movie like this.
Well, listen, it was a true story. I couldn't do this is not a blockbuster. I had to go by this is what happened at this time. And we laid it out in movie length, but you can't doll it up. I mean, as a SEAL, the SEAL of one of the best friends, his buddy, when we showed the families, he said to me at the end, he says, you honored my brother, and it's like, I appreciate you did not Hollywoodize this up.
Here's Michael Bay talking about the movie. And the three guys, the actual guys who we talked to and we played their interview earlier, Mark Geist, Chris Parento, John Tegan, we're going to post those interviews online. And it's a very poignant, very interesting interview with them. So I hope you'll listen for that. John Krasinski stars as one of these guys in the film. And he and I talked about how they stayed away from politics in this film.
Politicized issue. It's such an intense story that I think people say, what's the hardest thing? Was it the explosions are getting in shape? And not at all. The hardest thing was that responsibility, because you are telling the story of these six guys. And if you tell it wrong, and if you make the movie version of the story instead of just telling the story, in a way, you're dishonoring what they did. So I come from a huge military family. I have aunts and uncles and cousins who have served and are currently serving. So I felt like this movie for me was a representation of how I feel about our men and women that are serving. So all of that combined, that was the thing we all paid attention to. In fact, I just saw the movie, I think for the first time 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago or something. And I remember people said, what'd you think of your performance? And I said, I didn't even pay attention to any of that, because the whole time all I thought was, did we get it right? Did we get the story right? And I know that's how we all felt going through.
I wonder if you were thinking more about the families of the survivors, mm-hmm. the families of those who were lost.
Absolutely.
That time, and how they would react. I mean,
100%. And we actually had family members and friends of the people who were lost see the movie very recently. And the guys who were there just saw the movie, which I think is very difficult. And I did say this, and I truly believe this, is that no matter what happens with the film, I already have the greatest thing I could have, which is Jack, the guy who I play in the movie, he called me and said it was very difficult to see the movie, but it was great. And at the end, he just said, thank you. And that was extremely emotional for me, because him saying thank you means that we got it right. We're telling the story that he wanted out there, which is so crazy that people don't know about this story. I certainly thought I knew everything I needed to know about Benghazi. I watch the news, I read the newspaper. And I think that the fact that this story hasn't been told is very wrong. There's something wrong with that. And I think that that's what we're all so proud of, is that we get to celebrate these six guys and give them the acknowledgement that they've deserved for so long.
One of the things that surprised me going into this, you just hear the word Benghazi and immediately it's taken on this whole new political connotation.
Totally.
Now, so I thought, well, how are they going to deal with this in the movie?
Mm-hmm.
And I was so surprised that it didn't.
Good. I'm so glad you said that. Thank you for saying that.
It stood clear of it all. Mm-hmm. Just told you what happened.
Well, it's funny because people are asking me, you know, how did you deal with the politics? And the truth is, there are no politics in the movie because all the politics came after that moment. So these guys, when they were trying to survive, there weren't congressional hearings. There weren't people debating who said what to when to who when. It was about survival. So it was very interesting that none of the politics existed on that night. So we were able to avoid the politics because they weren't there.
Yeah, but you know, people say, "Oh, you know, you Hollywood types and your politics."
Right.
You know, this is going to be a jaded point of view.
It's right.
Just a good for you guys. Thank you very much. Telling a good, straightforward story.
I really appreciate that.
Good for you personally. I mean, do you feel like this puts you in a different place as an actor? Everybody is saying, you know, John is, you know, like in a new stratosphere now of leading men.
Hey, from your lips, that would be great. I mean,
I've been spreading that rumor mostly just.
Good. I like you leading the charge. That's great.
I don't know anybody important, but I am leading the charge.
I mean, here's the deal. I think that this business is out of your control in a lot of ways. You know, you just want to do the best work you can when it's given to you. I think for me, it's never been about comedy or drama. So this isn't very different in my head of what I've wanted to do. I've always wanted to do something like this, but I can totally understand why it's surprising for other people. I think that's exciting. And yeah, if you're seeing me in a new way, it's something that I've always wanted to do and thought I could do. So if you're appreciating it, I hope I do get to do it again. But to me, instead of doing stuff like this or stuff like The Office, to me it's about telling the good story. And The Office was a great story to tell and a great world to live in. And this, in a whole different way, was a great story and an important story. And this sort of action-y thing, yeah, I'd love to do it some more.
Yeah, you know, you're going to have to get rid of this, like, logical thinking and, like, normal guy thinking.
It's going to impede me.
It's going to kill you in the business.
It really is.